And there's 2018. Big thank you to Mo for doing that. Come on, can we put our hands together for Mo? Cassandra, thank you, guys. Today, at the end of service, is Aaron and Andrea here? Where are they? They're hiding out. They're getting ready. I was ready to do it right now. Well, we'll just have to put it off to next week. No, I'm just joking. We're going to do their wedding at the end of service. You're all invited. And it's going to be a great, great moment together. Thankful for today. I was thinking and pondering this week and last night as I was in my office praying what my calling is and what I'm called to do. And it's when I communicate, it's not always to make people feel good and fuzzy. At the end of it, and I'm just the reporter. I'm not the one that wrote the Bible. I just share what it says. At the end of it, you know, it's like taking, I've had a last couple weeks a cough, and I've taken cough medicine, and I hate the taste of it, and I don't really dread taking it, but it makes me feel better. And sometimes when we hear God's word, it's like drinking that cough medicine. You don't like the taste of it right now, but it'll make things better. Come on, can somebody say amen this morning? And so when I share some things with you, in particular, just a couple thoughts today, you might not like it, but it's okay if you'll look straight ahead and smile. Nobody will know that you got that issue, okay? That was supposed to be funny, but I guess you're not funny right now. So listen to this. Just a couple thoughts before I just share God's word with you. Honey, I'm so proud of you for getting up and sharing about that. I would not be here today if it wasn't for her grandmother praying for me and believing God and having faith and giving and sowing and just obeying God. So as you come and God lays on your heart, step out in faith. Watch the Lord do something. I shared this in the first service, and somebody came up afterwards and said, well, I thought everything that we gave goes to the work of the Lord. It does. But I want you to know this year-end offering, 100%, will go to wheelchair lift. It'll go for extra video cameras and things at St. Anthony's. And what God is doing in that right now is really amazing. We not only have been recognized by people, but by the government in the region. And I had somebody in government say, we're watching what is happening with you in St. Anthony's because we're going to go to Albany and we're going to tell them about the phenomenon that is taking place. We give God all the thanks and the glory for that. Amen? Come on. And so when you give, believe God. Monday is the last day. Don't bring a check in Thursday and say, put it to 2018. It can't happen that way. You got to get it in ahead of time. And you can do that with the PushPay app. You can go online at the website, thecitychurch.com. And you can do it that way. You can just come to the office, do it today, however you want to do it. But let's obey God. Let's work together on it. We're going to see something incredible happen. The prayer board is up. If you have prayer requests that you want to put up on that, bring them down after service. Or there's a bucket out front as you came in. You can drop it in that. We'll put them up on there. The sanctuary will be open this week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at noon. You'll be able to come in, and it's going to be open noon to 5, or if somebody, there's a few people in here, we'll leave it open until that is over. But set aside some time this week. Bring something, what you want God to do in your life. Let him refire a dream inside of you this year, and watch and see what he can do with that. And then set aside some time this week to pray, and for some of you to fast. If you go to our website, thecitychurch.com, there's a whole page on there about fasting and prayer. If you're not sure about it, you can study up on that. as well. And let this be an incredible week in your life for the Lord to do some things. I want to share just these thoughts with you before I share the message, because the quality of your life can and will be determined on some of the questions that you ask yourself. They are, number one, your emotional state. Is there anyone's forgiveness you need to seek? Or is there anyone that you need to forgive? Sometimes we can get good at just covering that, just putting that in a compartment in our lives and never allowing God to have his way in it. I want to ask you, as you're leaving this year and you're going into a new one, let God help you with that. Maybe you don't need to go to somebody with it, but you need to let it go in your heart. Second, spiritually, am I closer to God today than I was January 1st, 2018? And if not, what do you have to do for that to happen? Number three, relationally. How am I with that, with your spouse? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being in the greatest spot, where are you with your spouse? Where are you with your kids? Where are you with your friends and your relationships? Number four, it gets better. Physical. Ask yourself this. Let people tell me all the time. Not that I go around asking what people weigh. I don't. They say, I don't even own a scale. They say things like, well, I haven't been to the doctor in 10 or 15 or 20 years. I just trust God. God bless you. But God put the doctor here on earth to help you as well. And so I want to just pose these questions. These are questions for you and I to ask. I don't want to know, but what do I weigh? And is it okay? I know this is tough after all the Christmas cookies. I hate to get on the scale. I'm like, oh, dear Jesus. It's not okay. Do I have a physical scheduled to go to the doctor before the 31st of March? Now, I know sometimes men, you can just be, I know it's tough. I know you're like, I don't need that. I'm a man. I don't need that. Yes, you do. Because if you die before your time and you have family, you only hurt them. I should hear more than one amen. Make the decision. Go to the doctor. Get a colonoscopy. All the men said, man, you're a little weak on that. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Do the things. Ladies, get your business done. Get it all done. Whatever you, all that stuff that you got to do. Do it. Okay? It gets better. Number five, financials. These are questions for you to ask yourself. Are my finances in order? Do I know how much I owe? Do I know how much I own? Do I know how much I earn, how much I spend? I told you you're not going to like everything that you hear sometime. This is good, though, because if you just get up and face it and deal with it, you can get through it. Some of you got credit cards. You're paying a high interest rate on it. Listen, you can call the credit card company and say, work with me. You could save $100. You know, sometimes you can get on the phone and call creditors and work with them and save hundreds of dollars a month just by moving into that direction. Last, everybody look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad this is the last one. Intellectually, what are you reading? Well, I read the Bible. Usually people that tell me that don't. They use it as an excuse not to develop themselves. But I thank God for the gifts that he has put in other people so that we can develop ourselves and become better. Do you have some goals in that area? And just really, here it is. What are you pretending not to know? We got to just deal with it, face some of this stuff, and watch God do something great in our lives. Really. So I have people tell me, oh, I just love going to the gym. I just love it. Can I tell you something? I hate every moment of it. My trainer's not here. I don't even like her sometimes. I don't like it. But I can't fool myself and think that I can eat bacon cheeseburgers and just sit around and think that something's going to change. Because if you always do what you've always done, you always... Amen. Lord, I just thank you. Now use just the next few minutes to be a blessing to your people. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said, amen. I want you to look in your Bible, if you have it, 1 Corinthians 16, 8 and 9. It'll be up on the screen. I just want to talk to you. This thought came to me some time ago, and I wrote it down. I've just pondered it. Open doors. I'm all for themes, and I love catchy statements and all of that. But until you put the work into something to see it come to pass, it will not just come to pass. Open doors, they require courage in our lives. Paul, on his journey, found this to be true in 1 Corinthians 16, 8 and 9. He said, I'll tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. Verse 9, he said, for a great and effective door has been opened to me. And then he ends it up, he says, and there are many adversaries. And I thought that's such a dichotomy that here he said, here's a great and effective door. And by the way, I want to say a big thank you to our Genesee County Sheriff that's here, Deputy Chris, and his dog Frankie this morning. Can we put our hands together for them? Come on. Can we really thank them for being not only here, but for what they do? Pray for them every day. He said, There's a great effective door, but I've also got adversaries. Paul, there was a revival that swept through the city of Ephesus that was one of the largest at the time and became the most influential church in the first century. And Paul said, I have an open door to me now. And the word opened unto me comes from a work that means uniquely to me. It comes from the word, it means uniquely to me. And I'm cognizant that right here today in this room that there are some people that you're going to have an open door this year, and it's going to be uniquely to you. He goes on to say it's a great and an effectual door. It's an unprecedented opportunity. The word great is a word that means huge or massive. And he goes on to say, this door open, it means that it's wide open. It's a great door. And then he goes on to say in that sentence, he said, but there's many adversaries. And the word adversary means they're those who lie or something that is laying in wait, lying around. You and I have to realize that as we move forward to the doors that God is opening to us, that there will be hostile forces, influence, and influences standing in opposition to the progression that God wants to bring you and I to. Now, I'm not talking about making decisions willfully that hurt you. I'm talking about when you obey the Lord and you step out in faith. And sometimes we think that when we do that, that everything is going to be just perfect and easy. But the reality of it is that we get thrown off of our destiny sometimes because we hold on to an idea that if I follow God, everything is going to be just easy and it's going to come smooth and easy to me. And nothing could be further from the truth. As great as marriage is, it's not always fun and exciting. 41 years has not all been marital bliss. Thank you, honey, for not amening me on that. Oh, boy. It can be hard. As great as our children are, it can be hard. Sometimes you just want to strangle your kids. Sometimes you don't even want to admit they're your kids. But that doesn't mean that we just disown them. That means we persevere and we push through it. And as I reflected over some of the greatest experiences of my life, they just didn't happen, but they were accompanied by persistence, pain, disappointment, and adversaries that I didn't even know were there. They were lying in wait for me. And they will lie in wait for you. But that doesn't stop you and I, because your Bible and my Bible says in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23 that all things are possible to him who believes. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call on me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know. And sometimes the greater the door, the opportunity brings the greater opposition to our life. Listen to this. God has not saved you and I that when difficulties come into our lives, that we run from them. But he's called you and I to call on him and see the miraculous power of a living God, not only revealed to us, but revealed through us as well. And when you dream dreams and you believe him and you begin to move through the open door that God brings into your life, you will face adversaries. But through his mighty power, through his wondrous word, I'm thankful for the song this morning. God, you're not against me. You are for me. You are pushing me into the destiny and the calling that God has put on my life. And it won't always be easy. Open doors also require you and I to leave some things that are comfortable and forge ahead. Too often, we are bound with the chains of our own making. I listen to the stories. It says a man once stopped by to talk to a farmer in his field, and he said, how is your corn this year? The man asked the farmer, and the farmer replied, I didn't plant any. I was afraid of blight. The man said, well, how is your wheat? The farmer replied, I didn't plant any of that. I was afraid it wouldn't rain. The man looked at the farmer. He said, well, what did you plant? And the farmer finally replied, I didn't plant anything. I just played it safe. And how many of you know if you don't plant, you'll never harvest? In Ecclesiastes 11:4, it says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. In other words, if you're always waiting for everything to be perfect and right, nothing will ever be good enough for you to step out in faith and do what God has called you and I to do. You have to stop waiting for everything to be perfect. Stop waiting for it always to be your way. Stop waiting for someone else and believe God to step into a dimension that you have never stepped before. I love Genesis 12, 1 and 2. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. He didn't even know where to go. But God said, if you'll make a step, I'll show you. And I feel from the Spirit of God today that for some of you, you need to make that step into the unknown, to a place, into a dimension that you're not comfortable with, that you've never done before. And watch what God can do. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to physically move you, but maybe he's moving you relationally. Maybe he's calling you to experience something, for you to step away from the safe zone in your life, to see something brand new in your physical, in your finances. Some of you, you're afraid. You spend more at Burger King than you give to God, and you wonder why you suffer sometimes. That wasn't even in my notes. You got that for free. But you got to step away. You got to say, God, I'm going to trust you today. Open doors require for you and I to have new priorities. Listen, I said it before, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and you expect a different result. It don't happen. It doesn't. You can have all the cliches that you want. You can say all the little words and all the little Christian little phrases you want. But you and I have to sometimes change and reorder the priorities in our lives. An open door just requires you to decide to do what's most important. Because some people were believing something different to happen in our lives, and we're not making any changes in our lives. Listen, again, you know, physically, I went Friday to the gym. And it was, if you don't know what a burpee is, just look it up in the dictionary. They are from the pit of hell. They are demonic and evil. And that's what the whole, and I'm there doing that. And my first mind saying, why am I here? And then the Lord just whispers in my ear, because I want you to stay around here. Make some changes. Reorder your priorities. Listen, how do I do it? Number one, you got to stop making excuses. I love these little quotes. Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, he said, "An excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie." Benjamin Franklin said, "I never knew a man who was good at making excuses who was good at anything else." Man, it's tough. Excuses. I've got this to do. I've got that to do. I've got to go here. I got to go there. Second, guard against selfishness. We got to all work on this. We want what we want, how we want it, when we want it. And God says life doesn't happen that way. If you're going to have new priorities, if you're going to walk through new doors, you're going to have to guard against selfishness. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and everything else that you're considering will be added to you." And I like this third one. Take time to evaluate. God told Haggai and the people that he was referring to in Haggai 1, 5, 6, 7, and 8, tells them twice. He says, evaluate. He said, "Therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have so much, you don't bring in any. You eat, you never have enough. You drink, you're never full. You clothe, you're not warm. You earn wages and you put them in bags with holes in them." And then he ends it up again. He says, consider your ways. Give some careful thought to why you are doing it. And when you do this and you put God in first place, you'll realize some things. You'll know, number one, you'll learn to do what is right. And I don't have to stand here and tell anybody or meet with you and say what you're doing wrong. Each one of us knows, including myself, when we do wrong. Amen? We bring honor to God, and everything we say, think, and do, we bring honor to him. And then when this is moving in our lives, we experience the great blessing of God in our lives. Come on, this year, God wants to bring some of you and I through. I want those that are going to help me with communion to come now. He wants to bring you and I through an open door. It just doesn't happen because you can say, "Well, I just want the open door." You and I have to make some corrective changes in our lives. What a beautiful time this is this morning for this to begin in your heart and your life. That this morning as we partake in communion together, we share the blood and the body of the Lord, the cup and the bread of the Lord Jesus Christ, to make that decision today. I'm going to begin to make these changes. I don't care if you want to call it resolution, you want to call it goals, you want to whatever. Make the decision in your life today to do the things that are going to bring the future that God has called you to have. And don't let anything rob you from that today. When you receive the cup and the bread, hold it. We'll all partake together this morning. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, you need to do that. You need to ask him, "Lord, forgive me of whatever it is in my life that's a hindrance. Forgive me of sin. Cleanse me. Wash me. Make me brand new." Ask him, "Come into my heart, Lord. Live inside of me." For some of you, you're here and maybe you're away from God. Maybe you've just been moving in a direction that you know it's not healthy for you. Maybe you came in today. Some of you, my wife, when we were praying this morning, prayed for some that you got plans New Year's Eve to just go out and have a hallabaloo. Does anybody know what a hallabaloo is? Come on, I said, does anybody know what I'm talking about when I say a hallabaloo? Oh, boy. God, maybe he may be changing that right now. You may have, I don't know, honey, it's probably what you said this morning. I remember when I was a kid and I was going to go out one night, had friends, we were all set to go. I wasn't even married at the time. My wife's, she was Patty's grandma, granny. She comes walking in, glasses on, are thick as the bottom of Coke bottles. When she had those glasses, she looked right at you, the old style glass. Her eyes, they were about the size of tennis balls when they were wide open looking at you. Hair all up in a bun, long dress. She had these boots on. I don't know. You know, the dress was long. I always thought they laced up to her knees because they just... But I'm going to tell you something. When she came in and looked at you, you knew something was going. She came in. She goes, Marty, I was praying for you, and the Lord told me to tell you, whatever your plans are for tonight, don't do it. I said, what did you just say to me? She said, I was praying for you, and the Lord moved on my heart to tell you that whatever your plans were for tonight, don't do it. I said, okay, thanks. And she walked away, and I said, what's that old lady know? She has no idea what I'm doing. And I had only had a little experience with the Lord, but I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of God just started working in my heart. Oh, how many of you know what I'm talking about when I say that right there? He started working in me and convicting me. Pretty soon, I picked up the phone. I called my buddy. I said, I can't go. What? We've been planning this. I said, I can't go. Why? Why? What am I going to tell my friend? Because God intervened in my girlfriend's grandmother and told me. I don't know what I said. I think I lied. And I stayed home. And maybe the Lord's maybe calling some of you. That was a change in my life. That not just because I didn't do that, because I made a shift in the direction that I normally went in. And God saw that. Take the bread, Jesus said, in the night which he was betrayed. He gave thanks. He broke it. He gave it. He said, this is my body. This has been broken for you. Take it, every one of you. Eat it and remember me. Lord, we thank you. We remember what you have done for us at Calvary today. Let's partake the bread of the Lord Jesus together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the sound of babies. Thank you for the sound of life. God, you have given us life. He took the cup in the same way. He said, this is my blood. Yes. It's a baby singing for us right now. This is the new covenant. The blood of Jesus has been shed for your sin and mine. He said, as often as you drink this cup, you remember what I have done. Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the blood that was shed to cover our sin. Take away the sin of the world, Lord. Let it be so in every life today, in Jesus' name. Let's partake of the cup. Those who are going to pray, would you come to the altar with me now? Thank you, Lord. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Come on, sing with me. How great thou art. How great thou art. Lord, you're great and greatly to be praised. We love you, we honor you, we trust you, we commit our lives to you today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. If you need prayer before you go today, come on down. Let these folks know you're here. You want to be prayed for. You want to put a prayer request up on the board before you go, or just put it in the bucket in the first foyer. You can do that as well. We're going to do the wedding at 11:28, so that is 8 minutes from now. I love you. You're all invited to stay. But if you're not going to stay, I love you. God bless you.